Hey everybody, welcome to the Way on Campus podcast. Thanks so much for listening. My name is Austin.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we're your hosts for today. So, a lot's going on this semester. You're probably a little tired listening to this podcast. You're right now just getting assigned your homework assignments. But don't worry, we're here to help. Wanna know why? Because we're Christians and we have something important to share. But first of all, we were talking before the podcast about theology and Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, yeah, and how they relate to each other. Right. Lindsay's all sorts of fired up. She's like, I'm reading Pride and Prejudice right now.
For the ninth time.
Ninth time. Same book?
It is my favorite book. I've actually had two copies because the first copy I got on Amazon. It had been well used, and then I read it multiple times, and it actually, like, broke in half, like, the binding tore, and it was in two parts.
Do you, like, hold the book, like, open, like, wrap it all the way around when you're reading it?
Oh, no, that's horrible. No, I hold it. Normally, I guess.
Normally. Now, if I was your pastor, I'd say, so is your Bible as well used as your Pride and Prejudice book?
It is.
Oh, good.
You know what they say, a Bible that's falling apart belongs to someone who isn't.
There you go.
Boom, truth bomb. Hashtag that. No, there you go. Don't hashtag that. So, go ahead. Oh, wait. Hey. This is what happened when two extroverts start talking.
Seriously, and, go for it.
So before, like, we started recording this, we were kind of talking about how, like, Sean and I, we like to read dead people. Not like a psychic, but like books by dead people. Like old theology books.
That could come across
Jane
a little
Austen
weird.
Jane Austen is dead too, so.
Jane Austen is dead. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, there's it can feel like to some people that because we read theology that somehow we think we're more Christian than someone who likes to read, like,
or just more
Pride
inclined,
and Prejudice,
more inclined to a nonfiction theological book than others. And we don't want you guys to feel at all scared by us.
No.
Or intimidated.
Intimidated, thank you.
Yeah.
By our knowledge, because honestly we are men of clay feet.
No.
Which is a honest representation of who we are. But then again, I just don't really like fiction all that much.
Honestly, I got burnt out reading Ted Dekker, and then I kind of lost all fictional love after that. Or love for fiction. All love for fiction. Not fictional love.
However,
I do not have an imaginary girlfriend.
However, I will always pick up a book read by J.R.R. Tolkien or
C.S. Lewis.
Yeah. Namely, any one of the Narnia books.
Dickens.
Or
I started reading Dickens last year. Like Tom Sawyer,
I think
not Tom Sawyer.
I'm more into the, like, classical literature that's fiction. Like, I read Les Miserables and Anna Karenina at the same time.
Ooh.
In my senior year. I was reading both of them simultaneously. But the newer stuff, it's okay. Like, I'll read, like, I don't know. First thing that's coming to my mind right now is Hunger Games, but
ooh.
I haven't read that in years. I'll read it, but it's just, I breeze through it.
Would you read Harry Potter?
Potter?
My tongue failed.
Is he like
Harry
a...
Harry Potter?
Is he a
Harry
florist?
Potter? I've never read Harry Potter.
Okay.
Because my parents were those Christian parents that were like, it's about witchcraft! So.
Fair enough.
My parents were the same way. It wasn't until I was 14 that I was allowed to watch it. And then I started watching it, and I'm like, this is why I was harassed as a kid, because I kept being told I looked like Harry Potter. I had the big, no kidding, I was 9 years old in a Starbucks parking lot, parked right up front. My dad's getting me, like, a hot cocoa or something inside. I had these huge rounded glasses, the hair that looked like Harry Potter. And this kid, I'm not kidding, this British guy with his kid came out, and the kid looked at me in the car, and he goes, Daddy, it's Harry Potter.
Oh my gosh.
And that forever turned me off to Harry Potter. So every time I watch it, I think of that little boy taunting me.
I'm old. Like, my parents have said, you know, we don't care now what you do with it, but I feel like it's a childhood thing. And so many people, like, it was their childhood, and I feel like I missed that.
Did you watch
the same with Pokemon?
No.
I was never allowed to watch, like, animation as a kid.
No.
I wasn't.
Pokemon.
Another one
best.
That my mom was like, no, it's evil monsters in a ball, and no, you're not allowed to. And
what about
honestly,
Yu-Gi-Oh?
I make my mom sound horrible. She had best
Power
intentions
Rangers
for me.
When I was younger.
Huh?
I wasn't allowed to watch Power Rangers.
Why? Because
they fought each other.
Oh, yeah.
Violence.
Ooh.
Hey, did your mom talk like that, too?
No, she didn't. No. I put her in a bad light. Sorry, Mom.
Hey, I'm Sean's mother. No. kidding.
I'm Sean's brother. You're Sean. No, I'm just kidding.
It sounds like Larry the Cable Guy.
Well, she had the best intentions for me because she just wanted to raise me properly and she wanted to give me a clear understanding. Hey, these things aren't real. Actually, it was funny. I wasn't allowed to watch Yu-Gi-Oh! Either, and that was another
one. Oh, man. It was
yeah,
like,
I know.
I had all the cards, and I had Beyblades, too. Those were
Beyblades? Okay, so, yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch any of those. So then later on, I watched them, and they were like, oh, okay, well, I can see why this could, you know, upset a child or a child's parent. But it was funny because my mom thought Yu-Gi-Oh! Was straight demonic. And it's because the cards actually had, like, monsters that had, like, huge horns, and they were red, glowing like the devil. And I was like, no, they're just cards. I mean, you just play with them.
But it's almost like our parents thought there was a mystical power on the actual card itself. Like, if you touched it, it would be, like, Jumanji or like, something.
Cursed.
Yeah.
Forever. And actually, my mom thought it was really funny because that night... I went over to a Christmas party, and it was, like, a white elephant.
No.
And I got, for my classroom white elephant, I got a starter pack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And I was like, I've never seen this. What is Yu-Gi-Oh? And I got some, like, I got apparently some really rare cards. And I was like, wow, okay. Well, who wants them? Because I don't. Took them home with me. And the same night, I had, like, a nightmare about something. I don't even remember what it was. But my mom, the next morning, ooh. I told my mom about it. Yeah. And she's like... And she looks at my dad, Mike, and she goes, Mike, it's because you got those Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Those Yu-Gi-Oh cards are evil. Evil Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And I'm like, nowadays I'm more like, I don't think it's the Yu-Gi-Oh cards. But, I mean, I can't put it past it. The cards themselves objectively look pretty scary. I wouldn't put a card on my desktop on my computer.
Now, something we don't usually ask when we're kids, but we kind of ask more as we're adults, is like, why... did our parents do that?
Yeah,
because it's tend like when you're younger, like want to put a label on your parents, saying like, my parents like don't know how to have fun. They're just trying to keep me from like living, or I don't know what
you
else.
You sound like the average college student.
I just want to smoke weed.
No,
smoke weed every day.
No.
One thing my mom always told me was that I'm your mom. I'm not your friend.
Ooh.
And you know, I'm not gonna treat you like your friend. I'll let you, you know, obviously you can tell me anything, but I'm not your friend. I'm
and
your
you
parent.
You do as I say.
Yeah, basically.
My girlfriend's dad calls himself the graceful dictator. And I'm like, that's totally what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna be the graceful dictator. You do as I say.
Yeah,
that's what you do.
But you can understand in a certain sense because it's like by the time you have children, you realize like they're starting from zero with like what they're learning. Like they're learning everything from scratch.
Yep.
And we're growing. The older we get, I think we can all agree the world seems worse than we actually thought it was when we were younger. Like we don't realize how much sin's affected the world. So in a sense, yeah, I can understand like why I wasn't allowed to watch Harry Potter until I was a teenager, but it does beg the question, like, what should Christians do with entertainment? Because we live in a society that's very much into emotions and to novelty
driven.
Yeah, we're basically an entertainment driven culture. I mean, think about the reason why you pick up your phone when you're in line. Like In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, you're not.
I thought you were
out.
Saying that because I was just on the phone just now.
No. I mean, you don't go on your phone to check out the stock. Well, some of us might. But for most
we're
of us.
We're not all Sean's in the room.
Right? We don't go on our phones to go see, like, a lot of us don't really like to go on there and check out
books.
Objective news and stuff like that. Like, how's the stock market doing? Well, a lot of us are on there just
to
check out social...
Oh, my God, he's
phone for. Well, yeah, because he's that age. But, not calling him old.
No, he is.
He's well matured.
I mean, the reason we use our phones nowadays, 90% of the time, we're on social media.
Yes.
Yes. See, like, automatically. Yes, I'm doing Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, whatever you have you.
What were we doing before we started this? I was on Snapchat.
Seriously, we posted on Snapchat. because we were killing time because Austin was wasting our time. No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, you try leading a Bible study than doing a podcast right after. It's okay. A little bit of work.
Okay, fair enough.
We were in this room first.
Yes, we were.
Sean and I were here first.
It's true. We all share the burden. We all share the joys as well.
The one thing I wanted to bring up was how... actually, Austin said this earlier. How do we relate life with our Christian walk? Because as Austin and I really like theology, and Miss Lindsay really likes fiction and books of fiction and stories that tell of love interests in the classical era.
This is as far as I'm willing to go. It's Pride and Prejudice. I don't really go into the romance.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Pride and Prejudice and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or whatever forms you, whatever most interests you, that is going to have some sort of implication on you. And I'm not saying that everything's objectively good or bad, but what is objective is its influence on you, whether or not it's positive in the light of Christ. If I am watching Yu-Gi-Oh! And I love watching animation, am I allowing animation to form my livelihood, my life ideals? And am I basing my philosophy and my theology, meaning how what I think about life and what I think about God, am I basing that on my love of animation or on my love of theological books or on my love of Pride and Prejudice? And in the light of Scripture, is it positive? And that can go even as far as, like, my community of friends. Is their influence on me a positive light? My interests, like motorcycle riding is one of my big interests. Is that a positive light? And a lot of times it just takes a skew on how you approach it. I was going to ask Lindsay, what were some, if you could think of any, because you've read Pride and Prejudice like 9 times, right?
9 times.
Yeah. This is your 10th time?
This is my 9th time.
This is your 9th?
I've read all of this, and I know people listening can't see, but this was all in 4 days.
So that's like
2/3
of the books?
Yes. Basically,
you're a reader.
Yes.
You're a book nook. So then, Lindsay, if you were to take some of God's theological implications in what Jane Austen has wrote in Pride and Prejudice, let me simplify that question. That was really complicated.
So, like,
if you
it's
were
to, too early in the morning.
If you were to pull an idea out of life, what would it be? And is it also reflected in the Bible?
Pull an idea from
Pride and Prejudice.
I think the whole idea of not judging is definitely in here.
Uh-huh.
Based on, like,
the name Pride and Prejudice.
Yes, because you see how the characters are judging each other based on what they first see, and they end up hating each other and fighting, and instead of just, you know, resolving the conflict immediately and trying to get to the root of the problem, it's a lot of holding grudges against each other, refusal to, like, Elizabeth refuses to dance with Darcy at first, she refuses to talk to him, he refuses to see her side of things, and they hold up and they build a grudge based on their judgment of each other. And you know, we shouldn't be judging people. We should judging people, like, as in, you know, when we're at fault too, because this version that I have is an annotated copy, and you really do see just, like, how much, based on the author of the annotations, how much it was, and I've just totally lost my train of thought.
The themes in the book?
You see just how much they were both equal in judging each other and judging their actions. And I think when we allow that to happen as Christians or even as non-Christians, that, you know, or Christians to non-Christians, it builds up prejudice against each other. It builds up animosity, and you don't get anything solved that way.
Understandable. Another thing I wanted to ask you is, it's a lot simpler.
Okay, thank you.
How has Pride and Prejudice shaped you?
Pride and Prejudice has shaped me. I think it's...
I mean, you've read the book 8 times completely.
I think, besides taking away a social life, it has... It's made me wonder sometimes, like, was I too quick to judge somebody? Because I've been told several times, do you hate so-and-so because they think that you hate them? Or something, so-and-so thinks that you're mad at them. Or when I first met you, I thought you hated me. Uh-huh. Or I thought that you were mean when I first met you. And so I think that's, like, that's kind of like a resolution this year for me, is to appear friendlier, because I realize that I've been told this a lot of times, and it's not because of, I am a mean person, and it's not because of that, it's because I'm a little more reserved, and so I think definitely this has shaped me in that way, is that I see myself as maybe being a Darcy figure.
Okay.
And with Elizabeth's attitude.
There you go.
So, I think being a little less quick to judge, and also to appear that I'm not closed off completely. Because a part of me wonders, it's like, if I represent myself as, to others being seen as mean, am I showing the love of Christ that is in me? Because how can I be doing both?
I like how you wrap that up, because that was actually going to be my
next
question.
Did I answer your question?
You answered my question before I even asked it. How does it relate with your relationship with God and your relationship with God's Word?
Well, I basically said it. If I am appearing mean, or I'm appearing to be unfriendly to people and unsociable, then how can people have a relationship with me? How can they get to know me if their first thought of me might be that, oh, she's mean or she hates me? So, and I don't know if I've ever come off to any that way to anybody in the room before.
No, I mean, no? Not to me, because I knew your personality.
You knew my personality.
When I first met you, I'm like, oh, she's an introvert.
Because you're dating an introvert,
yes,
right?
I am.
Yeah, so you know.
I totally know, and I'm sure I totally understand why some people would say, I thought you hated me when I first met you.
I've been told this several times in my life by, like, people that I've known for, like, 10 years have come up to me and said, when I first met you, I thought that you hated me. And I was like, no. Just didn't know how to talk to you.
It's okay. And, I mean, I'm sure there's more implications that are brought about in Pride and Prejudice, because Jane Austen is a fantastic author. I personally have watched the BBC movie, like, 4.5 times with my
mom.
4.5
times?
Yeah. She loves that movie. And then, now that Downton Abbey is over... She's going to be watching that, and that's 10... How many seasons is that? 8 seasons? 10 seasons?
I don't watch Downton Abbey.
Oh, you should. It's good. 7 seasons? Yeah.
Awesome. 6. Learn to count, Sean.
Oh, 5. Oh, yeah. Okay, I was like, wait a minute. 7? I can't count right now. Thank you, Austin. Yeah, it's 7. Do you watch Downton Abbey?
No. I watched Legends of Tomorrow, which is like Doctor Who and superheroes had a baby. Actually, it's a bad way of putting it. But it's like a combination of two genres.
So then what do you watch?
Jesus. No.
Yeah, I'll be like, come on.
No. What do I watch?
Unless it's the honest answer.
Let's cross this over. Okay. Guilty pleasure. I have my guilty pleasure movies, honestly. Okay. I just watched Hitch for like the 10th time the other day.
Wow.
With Will Smith. My favorite movie.
How does that movie... I mean, how does that movie affect you? You've watched it 10 times.
Yes.
How does it affect you? How does it influence you?
I tend to... Okay, I'm one of those weird people who, like has to ask himself questions, or else I'll just, like... I don't know. I'll either not listen, or I'll just, like, rant. But when I'm watching Hitch, I experience three things. First of all, I get sucked into the whole logic and Sherlock Holmes aspect of the way Will Smith is, like, helping people with relationships. I'm like, dude, I want to be that guy.
You know it's a comedy, right?
Exactly. But I'm watching it, and I'm like, I want to be as smart as that dude. Then all of a sudden, I start feeling all the feelings of, like, seeing the couples together and stuff. Okay, guys, you got to admit it. When you see a movie where there's a couple and a guy finally gets the girl, you feel something. Don't
lie.
Unless
it's Hallmark.
Unless it's Hallmark. Hallmark is terrible.
Uh-huh.
Like that movie with Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell. Anyways. So, like, I'm watching it. But in terms of a Christian response, I kind of look at it like this. Like, everything we watch and everything we read has a worldview. It's got claims of what's true and what's not. It's got a certain way it wants you to think. It's trying to communicate some form of a gospel message or some message to you. So when I watch Hitch, the gospel message of Hitch, its own good news seems to be like, don't try to structure your life and be someone you're not. Be yourself, and that person will love you who's supposed to love you. But when I watch Hitch, I also got to keep in mind that the people in the movie don't know Christ, so they're not living as if they know Christ. So as much as I want to be Will Smith, you know, tall, buff, really good with, like, understanding relationships, I'm not any of those things. And God makes every person the way they're supposed to be.
That's totally okay.
When I'm watching, like, The Flash or Arrow or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Legends of Tomorrow.
Wow.
Or Superstore or The Office or any of my other Netflix TV shows. Yeah. Well, I'm learning to be an introvert, okay?
Okay.
It takes time. Everyone's a little introverted.
Uh-huh.
But the point I'm making is, like, everything is communicating a message to us. Even the billboards or the Carl's Jr. commercials or the Budweiser commercial with the puppy. Like, everything's trying to tell us something. And so that's why, like, you can be a Christian and read Pride and Prejudice and get something out of it like Lindsay did. Because it was communicating a message. It, like, had a purpose to what it wrote.
Mm-hmm.
But relating that back to Hitch, I just love, like, the way the movie's made, too. It's
really?
Just, like, it's one of those movies. It's got, like, crazy replay value. Like, Back to the Future.
Uh-huh.
You could put Back to the Future on, like, 50 times in a row.
Okay.
And I would watch it every single time. And, like, tell you all the dialogue.
You know what's funny is that
it's my Pride and Prejudice.
I have another Will Smith movie that I really love, and it's an old one. It's iRobot.
iRobot. Not I Am Legend.
Not I Am Legend. iRobot.
Really?
And there was that movie, and then there's another movie that was more recent, The Martian. If you guys haven't seen it yet, what are you waiting for?
It's about, like, a group of people that go marching, right?
The Martian?
The Martian.
No, not The Martian. The Martian with Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Guy stranded on Mars, and there's a whole rescue mission to go save him, and he has to survive on the planet Mars alone.
And not just that, like, surviving. It's, like, years he has to survive.
Yeah. Every day is called a soul, like that. I'm not sure. But it's an amazing movie, and I want to talk about the implications of that, because I want to be fair. I'm going to ask myself the same questions.
I was about to say, I'm like, we're
how about you ask me? How about you ask me those questions?
I forgot what the first question was.
Oh, look at you being so active.
You know what transdispensationalism? I don't even know if that's a word. Never mind, I made up a word, sorry.
Okay, I'm going to first talk about iRobot, then The Martian, in each one of these questions. iRobot, if you guys don't know, it's a movie about Will Smith plays the main character, who is a cop, ex-cop, now kind of rebellious. So then there's this new robot that came out and apparently knows how to think and has a soul, like, quotes. So the whole mission is, or the whole plot goes, like, the mother robot who controls... The mother computer, which controls all the, like, robots Avatar. In the city.
This sounds like Avatar. There's kinda. The mother.
Go yeah. Ahead. Yeah. So she controls all the robots in the city, and they all turn evil, except for this one robot that has, like, a soul. And so he takes this other robot called Sonny and tells him, you know, we have to destroy the mother computer. And then that's pretty much the whole plot of that. And then The Martian, like I was saying, guy tries to survive on Mars, whole mission to save him. If you guys haven't seen it, go watch it.
Doesn't it seem like the sequel to Interstellar, not to rabbit trail?
Right?
Yeah, because, like, Matt Damon just shows up out of nowhere in Interstellar. You're like, Matt Damon?
Yeah,
what are you doing here? Like, this is awesome. But
talk about a feature presentation.
But didn't it feel like a prequel to Interstellar sometimes?
Kinda.
Like it kind of
like yeah, like Martian was the prequel.
Like it makes you feel like he would like put himself in like.
Because he did animation. Actually look a lot older in Interstellar. Well, that we're getting off though. Yeah, yeah. I really like Interstellar too, but not as much as The Martian. The Martian and iRobot. So what iRobot taught me and how it's influenced me. One, technology is great. However, too much trust in technology can lead you astray. Two, you should be a little bit open-hearted, especially with people. Will Smith is like the lone wolf, and it really bites him. So he learns to be a little bit more open-hearted with people and with a piece of technology that is claimed to have a soul. And then The Martian. Oh, love it. sorry.
He's getting paid to talk about this.
No, I'm not. Shush. I loved it because he said, at the very end of the movie, really sums it up. When you're faced with a problem, you can either do one of two things. You can say, all right, this is how I die. Or you can get to work. And so that taught me, if you attain knowledge and you apply that knowledge to become wisdom, big difference there, knowledge and wisdom, then you can ultimately pull yourself out of any situation. and I think the way that relates to everyday life in both those movies, one, of course God, I think, would want us to be open-minded to new technologies. I mean, he's made the human race to be so incredibly smart. I mean, we're given open minds, and we are given the ability to go as far as our puny hands can reach. And so when I'm talking about technology and advances like that, I think they're great. But then again, we should have discernment and understanding that some technology is not always to be trusted. Yeah. And then with The Martian...
Like your phone's going to attack you.
Yeah, right? Transformers.
Oh, no, it's using my fingerprint against me.
Yeah. So then, in The Martian, learning how to overcome...
perseverance.
To be a perseverance, to be a disciple, meaning you discipline yourself into patience, and you learn what it means to overcome obstacles that seem overwhelming. I mean, stranded on Mars seems so overwhelming, but he just says, you know, you gotta say I throw in the towel or get to work.
And why did those themes stand out to you, and why do you think they're important?
As a Christian, I think the technological aspect of iRobot stands out to me because I really like technology. So that might be one reason. May not have as much of a Christian impact as Martian. But The Martian, it's something like this. A lot of people seem to say nowadays, I'm going to let God take care of it. If God wants to save me, he will. And it's like the whole joke that goes, if a man is drowning in the sea and a sailboat comes up to save him, he says, oh, don't save me, God will save me. And then another and another. And then soon enough he drowns and goes to heaven. And he said, God, why didn't you save me from drowning? He said, what are you talking about? I sent three boats. You know? And that's just surface level. That's not even chipping away at the ice. But The Martian really gives a depiction of someone who has the gift and the ability of... It's the biblical version of hard work, of, you know, being yoked and then going for it. And yoking, yoked as in when an ox takes on that big harness, it's called a yoke. And it's being yoked to usually a tool or something to mill the farm. And so when you have that God-given ability to say, God, I trust that you will give me everything I need in order to get this done. And it kind of applies to personal, because when I was trying to choose like a career, I didn't know what God wanted me to do. So instead of worrying about what I wanted God or what God wanted me to do, I said, you know what? I'm going to do what I think is right. And if it's not, then I know God will direct me. So I just got to get my head down and do. I have to. I don't care what it is. I just have to do. And so, like when I lost my job over at another place, I was talking to myself and I was like, you know what really sucks where I'm at? I can either sit down and sulk about it, or I can just put my head down and do. Go apply. Go get your nice slacks on. Go over to wherever it might be. Go start applying places and get another job. And do. And it really speaks about the perseverance that a human being can have given the strength that God gives them. Are you texting?
I was pulling up a quote. There's this book, and what you said kind of echoed it.
Okay.
And by the way, this is all relaying because as Christians, our worldview influences everything we do. Like, what we believe about Jesus, the Bible, the gospel, affects the way we think about things and even affects what we see when we look at movies. That's why it's so important that when you are going into a movie, you know what you believe and why, and you're able, like Charles Spurgeon said, you're able to use discernment, which is not knowing the difference between right and wrong, but knowing the difference between truth and almost truth. You know, it's being able to spot the little differences.
Truth and almost truth.
So check this out. So Kevin DeYoung, he's this pastor. I don't even know what state he's in. But he wrote this book called Just Do Something. And the point of the book is really reiterating that sometimes we use phrases like let go and let God almost as if to say that God does all the work and he doesn't call us to do anything as Christians. Because we're not saved by our works, but we're saved only because of what Christ has done for us. Mm-hmm. However, since we received Jesus, there is a calling on our lives to do something. So here's what Kevin DeYoung wrote. He said, "So go marry someone, provided you're equally yoked and you actually like being with each other. Go get a job, provided it's not wicked. Go live somewhere in something with somebody or nobody, but put aside the passivity and the quest for complete fulfillment and the perfectionism and the preoccupation with the future, and for God's sake, start making some decisions in your life. Don't wait for the liver shiver. If you are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you will be in God's will, so just go out and do something."
Wow. That's so...
I wish I could claim that as my own, but no.
Man, that is deep. I like that. Yeah, you know, just forget everything I said, learn that quote, and you'll have everything I just said right now.
I think you guys summed it up though. Uh-huh. You didn't, like, we don't need to discount what you said, Sean.
Of course.
But
you built the coffin, I just put the nails in.
There you go. I guess you could say that.
That works too.
Uh-huh.
No.
But I think I want to reflect what Austin said. We have to remember that everything that we subject ourselves to is constantly molding us, be it Pride and Prejudice or Yu-Gi-Oh! or Pokemon or Harry Potter or theological book studies or The Martian or iRobot, whatever it is, whatever your occupation is, whatever you like is constantly molding you. And you have to be aware of what it's molding you into. Because I know that if you're watching a dark, dank film, like I just
dank.
Watched...
Dank. Okay.
Not dank as in cool, but I just watched Sweeney Todd, and after I watched that, I was so depressed. Super depressed. I didn't like it at all. I was like, okay, well, I guess I could watch this. Going into it, I know it's going to be strange.
It goes back to what Paul said, even. Oh, yeah, we've got a couple minutes left.
Yeah, I know, we've got a couple minutes.
Yeah, so to wrap this up, there's a couple of things I wanted to point out. First is Romans 12, 1. Actually, 1 and 2. It's the point Paul is making there is he's saying, do not be conformed to this world. The whole idea is that we are conformable as human beings. We will mold ourselves to something. Like, we are basically like... We basically, whatever we're poured into, we become. So it says in 1 Corinthians, bad company corrupts good morals. The whole idea of if you associate with people who are not godly for too long, you're going to become like them.
Yep.
Another thing, too, to point out is it's just important to recognize everything's trying to preach you some message. The question is whether that message is in alignment with Scripture or not. So that's why it's important to think things through. Like, when you're seeing a movie, just ask, like, what's the message of that movie? Why did I like it? What made me laugh? That kind of thing. So it's just a reminder that no matter what we should do it to God's glory. We should do it and don't think you have to be like this giant intellectual who can like walk away from a movie and be like, the humanism in that movie really bothered me.
Yeah.
Like, you don't.
Why'd you sound British? That was
weird. Because British people are freaking smart. Okay.
Yes, they are smart.
It's like the kid who called me Harry Potter. I should have took it as a compliment, right? Because he was saying I was smart.
That's right.
You guys see what I'm saying, though? Just like, start asking questions about stuff and just ask, like, does this fit with the Bible? What can I learn from this? But don't close yourself off from everything. Like, listen to music. Like, I listen to Bob Dylan, okay? Even though he sounds like he's, like, breathing through an inhaler or something, he's still, like, got some good music. But that aside, what do you guys think? You think we're settled on our topic?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah? Cool. So, guys, until next time, stay focused, stay in the Word. Make sure to go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thewayoncampus. Come to our meetings. Look on the walls because we got posters. Really, yep. Really nice posters. And until next time, I'm Austin.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Lindsay.
And thank you for listening to the Way on Campus podcast. Goodbye.